cars on Woodruff Road. You're listening to The Roar.
It's close to midnight. Something evil's lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stops your heart.
Hour two, out of bounds. William Quaggin, Miss Kelly Gramlich. You know, we really didn't even recap the weekend in sports. We probably should do that before we get to some college football, including a Blue Bloods conversation. Classic off-season topic here.
Really classic OOB.
Yeah.
We love Blue Bloods talking conversation. Blue Bloods.
I'm going to talk Blue Bloods in a different way today. We always define Blue Bloods a little bit differently. I'm going to define Blue Bloods in a way that is just the most anti-Quaq way to do it. And
okay, I'm intrigued.
You might be shocked. You know what? You probably won't be.
There aren't
you probably
a lot
won't
of
be,
things
it's gonna make sense.
That you do that shock me these days, but I'll try to be shocked.
It is. I mean, it's going to make sense, but coming from me, you would think, wow, that's a little weird. I don't want to give it away. We'll wait for the mic drop moment there. Over the weekend, we did see a PGA Tour event where Dustin Johnson, in a weekend of big scores, we were pushing 60 sometimes. Bryson DeChambeau is driving the green on, 425-yard par fours. That guy's unbelievable right now. And we had a situation. We're going to talk to Andrew on Wednesday. But we had a tie situation with you and Andrew, with Doc Redman and Patrick Cantlay, and my guy, M, was out, okay?
You lost.
He was way out, way back, down the leaderboard. Did make the cut, but it was Doc and Cantlay, and you guys tied. Technically, on the rundown, on the leaderboard, I actually looked at two different leaderboards and got a screenshot from Andrew. Doc Redman was listed ahead of Patrick Cantlay.
Why?
Which doesn't make any sense because it's not alphabetical.
Unless it's alphabetical by first name, which doesn't make any sense.
Kelly, that's interesting.
But did they get the same amount of prize money?
Yes.
Okay, so then that's a tie, I would say.
We might just
the same score.
We might just have to tie.
Well, there's no we. You lost.
Right, I lost. But the two of you might have to
yeah,
tie.
Yeah, why
I don't
is
even
Doc
know what
Redman
the standings
listed
are.
Above?
I don't know.
They're both 13 under. Oh, it's probably because Doc had a better final round. So maybe they
oh,
put
that
him
might
above.
Be it.
Because he was 7 under on
it.
The final round.
So you guys split. I don't even know what the scores are. I have no idea.
Where they scored? Or where
no,
our,
no, 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 no.
Our score
I'm
is,
talking about with our competition
we're gonna
with,
need
between
Andrew,
the two of us and Andrew.
Yeah, we're going to need Andrew to update us on Wednesday. So
and
we'll
it's
look
not like it's been, it's only been like 4 weeks. Right?
This is our third tournament, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even like we've been doing this forever.
Well,
I'll
tell you what.
I just don't know who's been winning.
It felt good to make a cut. It really did.
We know you have a half.
And to finish top 11, that's a big improvement for me.
I'm pretty positive. I'm pretty positive Andrew now has 2.5, and you have a half, and I have none. I'm pretty positive that's where the scores
are. I don't know, Andrew, so would I like to beat him? Sure. Do I want to beat you more than anything in the world? So
okay. All
that really matters to me is beating you.
Fair enough. So we had that this weekend. Really fun stuff happening in NASCAR because Pocono got a workout. They did a doubleheader. They had three
yes.
races yesterday. Rain everywhere, even during the race, rain. I mean, goodness gracious. Talk about a weird, weird weekend. And Pocono's a weird track anyway. So, did you watch any of that yesterday?
I watched a little.
We're going to talk about a little bit in stock watch.
I watched a little. And so, they did two. It was two different races, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, they counted for two different things. And Kevin Harvick almost won both of them, which
That's
is
right.
kind of crazy. He won the first one, and then Denny Hamlin won the second one, and then Hamlin almost won the first one, too. So, I guess Denny Hamlin almost won both as well.
That's correct.
But overall, it was good to have something on. I thought it was a little bit of overkill. You know, because Nick was watching the race on Sunday, and I said, didn't we just watch this? Wasn't this just on? But I guess you got to get your races in.
That's
with,
right.
With this weird season that we're having.
So anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit more in Stockwatch. Now let's get to our off-season conversation. Oh, 654-ROAR is the number, 654-76. If you want to get in on any of this. Oh, one other thing before we get to our off-season conversation. I know I keep saying we're going to go to it and then do it in about face. Clemson basketball got a commit this weekend from an in-state prospect, a four-star. There were actually a couple of in-state prospects. Cesar Edwards, four-star, sort of a 6'10", long, athletic guy from down in Hartsville, I believe, committed to Xavier. And that was a little bit of a surprise. And then Josh Beadle from Cardinal Newman in Columbia, 6'3 combo guard. He picked Clemson over Wake Forest, Furman, Charleston, VCU as a guy who, by all accounts, just hadn't been seen. And Clemson was able to get a commit there. So in a recruiting class where Clemson's going to have to stack some guys, they're going to have to bring some guys in or maybe hit the transfer portal for some guys. That is, I mean, that's a pretty good start. You get a four-star guy in state. You can, I mean, I think three-star by some, but four-star by, I think Rivals has him four-star among some others. 247 Sports Composite. He's ranked 134 nationally, number 6 in the state. Seems like a not insignificant thing that Joshua Beadle commits to the Tigers this weekend. All right, now we'll go to the Blue Bloods discussion. We have talked about Blue Bloods a little bit. Part of this, and we're not going to talk directly about Blue Bloods at the top. Part of this came from last week. We saw a story, CBSSports.com. They did a story on the five programs that are most likely to win a national championship. They hadn't won one in a long time or hadn't won one. These five programs.
And they haven't won one since 1992. Which, right,
that, yes.
For them, they're defining that as the modern era in the CBS Sports article because that is when we first formed the Bowl Coalition, which made sure the top two teams in the country played for the national title. Then that turned into the BCS. So they said 1992 on. These are programs that have not won a national title since 1992.
Right. So we're going to get to these five programs. Kelly, would you say, without getting too deep into it, because we're going to get to all of them, are these five programs all Blue Bloods in your mind?
Okay, that they have listed here?
Yes.
Only one is.
Only one. Which one do you think is a Blue Blood?
Notre Dame.
Okay. Interesting.
What do you think?
We'll get back to that. I'm going to wait. I'm going to save it.
I'm feeling an urge to post a poll.
Yeah.
I might do it after we have our discussion.
I feel like we need to.
Or should I do it now? You know there's five teams here. You know there's one team I'm not including. So, like, you know which one I think is hilarious.
Wait, which one are you not including for sure?
Quack.
I don't want to miss it.
Quack. Texas A&M! Why are they on this list? What are we doing?
Because they're going to make a... Because they're going to make a playoff, Kelly.
Okay.
They're
going to
do it.
Sure.
They're going to do it.
Sure.
All right. Here are the schools listed. We'll just go through these, okay? I'm going to stop being so obtuse about this. All right. I'm just going
to
tell
you. You're really trying to create a sense of suspense.
And you know what? I'm mangling it. I'm butchering it.
I can't commit to it,
and so I can't. Okay. Georgia is on this list. Notre Dame is on this list. Oregon is on this list. Penn State is on this list. And Texas A&M is on this list. Okay. We'll talk about those five. I agree. Notre Dame is the only one that is a true blue blood program. Let's talk about this, though, because we can look at different lengths of time and try to figure out who's going to win a national title first. Okay. If we're looking just in the next 5 years, I think it's a little more like recent. Like, if you're in that group right now, then you're probably going to win in the next 5 years. If you're not, you're probably not, right? I would also argue, and looking through some of the Pick Six preview stuff that they had, Clemson's rise from 2014 to 2015 to 2016 is remarkable. Clemson, I know it doesn't feel like this. Clemson skipped steps. Clemson was not necessarily a top 10 program before it was a top 4 program, if that makes sense. Like, there wasn't a You might disagree with this. I'm saying there wasn't a 3 to 5 year period where Clemson was consistently in the top 10 before they were elevated to top four. To me, Clemson went from like top 15 to top four, and there was no in between. And they haven't really looked back. They're still a top four program. And so I kind of feel like if you're not top four right now in the next 5 years, you're probably still not going to be top four, or you're not going to be established top four enough to say this is a team that's routinely going to be competing. And so you might have to look like 10, 15, 20 years down the road for at least a couple of these programs. That's kind of the point I'm making.
No, I agree. So when you look at the five they're listing, Georgia, Notre Dame, Oregon, Penn State, Texas A&M, whatever, okay. I would not, if I was a betting woman, I would not bet that any of these teams wins a title in the next 5 years, because it would be tough for me to bet against Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. And even Oklahoma. I mean, those are the four that I think are really in the mix. But could they win one in the next 10 years? Sure. I'm just not sure how much is going to change over the next 5 years, how much the status quo is going to change. The one that probably I would feel safest betting on is Georgia. Because
okay.
I've seen them make a playoff. I've seen them almost win a national title. They recruit really, really well. And I feel like they could get over the hump. I definitely feel the best about Georgia on this list.
Okay, let's say this. Let's do it this way. I'm going to say in the next 5 years, will they win a national title or won't they? And we'll just do yes or no, and then we'll try to figure out how it stacks up at the end. All right. Will they or won't they next 5 years win a national title? Here we go. Georgia, will they or won't they next 5 years?
Yes.
Yes. Wait, didn't you just say no?
I said if I had to bet on one, I would say Georgia.
You did say if you had to bet on one, you'd say Georgia.
I think yes. Next 5 years, yes.
Okay. I say yes in the next 5 years.
Oh, even you.
Yes. Notre Dame.
No.
Next 5 years. No?
No.
I'm saying no in the next 5 years. Oregon, next 5 years.
No. Who's the quarterback?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
Georgia, we have JT Daniels as an interesting development. Vandergriff, the guy they're bringing in, isn't that his name?
Yeah.
I know they have some good 4-stars already at Oregon, but I don't know. I haven't heard that much about their possible QBs. And they just had Justin Herbert. They just had a 6th overall pick, and they couldn't get to the playoff with him.
I'm going to say no, but I'm also going to qualify it. And I'm actually going to qualify in a way that might stir some controversy. Penn State.
Heck no.
Next 5 years. No?
No.
No, Penn State sounds like the next 5 years. Texas A&M.
This is ridiculous. Why are they on this list? Can we read the description? I want this person, Tom Fornelli, who is really well known. I don't know why I called him this person. I just want to read his rationale for A&M. Do you mind? Because I just think this is crazy.
Okay. Go ahead.
Texas A&M. You can argue that of the 5 schools on this list, none has a more difficult path to the CFP than A&M. Okay. Poor A&M. Not only do the Aggies need to get through Alabama, Auburn, and LSU in the SEC West, but they would likely face either Florida or Georgia in the SEC Championship. That's 4 programs that have won a national title in the last decade and another that lost a national title game in overtime just a few years ago. So this whole first paragraph is just making excuses for A&M. Because of that, A&M is further away from the title than anybody you see above. Okay. But there's potential there. Jimbo Fisher was given all that money to win a national title in College Station because he'd already proven he could do it at Florida State. While the results on the field haven't been there yet, off the field, the signs are there. This is a program that's put together back-to-back top 10 recruiting classes. The average rank of Fisher's first 4 classes at A&M has been 10th overall. The talent is there. That alone won't prove to be enough to survive the crucible that is the SEC West, but it's a start. Last national title, 1939.
Interesting.
That's not an argument. That's just I had to pick a 5th team. I don't really see any reasoning. Okay, they recruit well. They've always recruited well.
They're going cash, right? And really what he's banking on, what he said was, and I'll parse out this sentence. Jimbo Fisher was given all that money to win a national title in College Station, Texas, because he'd already proven he could do it at Florida State. Okay. He didn't say Jimbo Fisher's proven he could build a national championship caliber program. He just said he was paid all that money to win one. Could you see A&M winning one? Like, in a flukish way? I mean, Auburn 2010 won one, and 2 years later they went 3-9. They didn't build a program, they just won one. LSU just won one. That's a little different. LSU just won one. They haven't proven that they built that caliber program yet. Do you think that's a little different with A&M?
Are you asking me a question? I was on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My apologies.
It's okay.
I heard you say fluky. Are you asking could they get lucky and win one, basically?
Yeah. Because that's all Fornelli's saying is that Fisher already won one. I would argue that they did a good job building that one team, but not a program.
Look, they had Johnny Manziel. And didn't, I know the playoff didn't exist then, but did not even sniff the national title. So if that, and to me, that would seem like a fluky year, not saying Manziel was fluky. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, but it kind of came out of nowhere, right? Similar to a Joe Burrow situation. They had Von Miller and didn't get anywhere near. They had Miles Garrett and didn't get anywhere near. They had Mike Evans and didn't get, they have, if you say A&M recruits well, I'm like, yeah. The sky is blue. I don't know what else you want me to do with that. That's an obvious statement. But it's also obvious that they can never do anything with what they have. They can't get that far. And whether it's the schedule, does the schedule hold them back? Sure. I don't hate A&M that much to at least admit that they have a tough schedule. Of course they do. That's very tough. If they had been thrown in the SEC East for whatever reason, this thing might be different. But that's reality. And if you can't beat those teams with all these number one picks that you've had or Johnny Manziel, then I don't know why I should expect things from you.
I think it is perfectly reasonable what we just said, that in the next 5 years, only one of those teams is going to win a national title, and the other four are going to come from usual suspects, right?
Sure. Teams so that have we're won talking one out of five. Like, one of these teams could win one title in 5 years.
I think it would be totally extraordinary if two of the five came from any of these.
It'd be crazy.
Two different ones. Two different, like Georgia could win two of the next five, I think.
But
I'm not, I don't think Georgia's winning one and Oregon's winning one.
So this is, it's the year 2020. Let's say even in 2015, after Clemson had just made the national title, and maybe it's better to say it's 2014 after Clemson had just played in the Russell Athletic Bowl. But there are a lot of people, even after that national title appearance in 2015, that would not have said Clemson's winning a title in the next 5 years.
Right.
Because they just hadn't proven it enough. So my point is it's even tough for us to predict that a team like Clemson was going to rise up because this is such a blue blood sport. So it's hard to say, oh, this team's going to rise up and do something that it's never done before. Because that is so rare. That is so rare in college football.
Let's talk about this coming up next. 654-ROAR is the number. We'll also go to Jim's phone call after this.
Drive on through and feed the whole family with a Big Bow box for just $19.99. It's bow time.
Are you a member of Founders Federal Credit Union and need to deposit a check? Try Mobile Deposit in the Founders app. It's quick, easy, and you'll have access to your money without even having to leave your home. Relax. Try Mobile Deposit. Not a Founders member? Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. That's RelaxJoinFounders.com. Mobile deposit restrictions apply. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
For 25 years, Husqvarna Automowers have been the best-selling worldwide. With the Husqvarna Automower Crown Commitment Program, you'll enjoy your weekends and know that if you're not satisfied with the performance of your Husqvarna Automower within 60 days of purchase from a Husqvarna dealer, return it for a full refund or exchange. Easley Lawn and Garden offers Husqvarna Automowers as well as the expert installation and service you need. Trust them to get you set up with the right Husqvarna automower just for your yard. After all, Easley Lawn and Garden has been your trusted local source for nearly 40 years. Let a Husqvarna automower do the work while you relax. Easley Lawn and Garden, your local Husqvarna automower professionals for sales, installation, and service. For all your power equipment needs. Veteran and family owned and operated. 312 South Pendleton Street, Easley. Online at easleylawn.com.
At Sprint, we understand saving money for your family is now more important than ever. That's why we're offering our best unlimited deal. Switch and get four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. That's right, four lines for $100. Plus, the plan includes Hulu, 500 megabytes of mobile hotspot, DVD quality streaming, and more. If that's not enough, to really amp this up, we're including four amazing iPhone 11s on us when you trade in iPhone 6s or newer in any condition. And now, Sprint customers enjoy access to expanded coverage on the T-Mobile network. Shop from the comfort of your home at Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after 29.17 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within 2 bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Requires new account. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line without a pay. Did any prioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available ever. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums. Use rules. $30 activation fee and restrictions apply.
Listen live anywhere in the world on WCCPFM.com. We are the Roar.
I'm the kind of brother who been doing it my way, getting my bread for years in my career. And every lover, y'all, in and out my life, I hear love and left in tears without a care. Until I met this girl who turned and saved
us. Our two continues out of bounds. William Quagamish, Kelly Graham Lake, out of bounds. Stock watch at 2:05. 654 Roar is the number. We're going to get back to the Blue Bloods conversation first, though, and the sort of new bloods or the old bloods. I don't even know what to call this group.
Why is it called a blue blood? Where does that even come from? Blood is red.
I don't know.
I'm going to have to look that up now.
That's a fair question. Yeah, yeah. Please look that up. We'll go to Jim here while Kelly does that. We'll get to more of this, including 10 years out, 20 years out. Will these programs win a national title? How many of them do we think will eventually hoist the trophy, the golden scepter? But first, let's go to Jim. 654 Roar is the number. We appreciate his patience. What's up, Jim?
I've got a question for you.
Okay.
You had to put on something about lawnmowers before I got on the air.
Because put on something about
weeds in my yard.
Oh, look, it's preaching to me too. I gotta clean. I gotta clean up the yard a little bit. And every time I hear anything about tractors or anything about lawnmowers or anything, I feel like they're preaching right to me. So I get it.
Well, I got a question for you, Quark. Who are the Blue Blood teams in the country?
All right, here's what I'll say, all right? And Pick Six Previews, we had Brett Cianci on last week. I thought he did a great job. His criteria for Blue Bloods is basically whoever we say. So he put out these polls on Twitter, and he came up with Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, USC, Michigan, Texas, and Nebraska. That was his eight. I think that's a pretty good eight, Jim. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree with that.
Okay.
I would add Notre Dame because, in fact, they've been basically at the top of football for the last 100 years, I would probably say.
Right.
I would probably add Georgia because they've been pretty consistent over the last 50 years.
Okay. I can see that. They haven't won a national title in 40 years, so that hurts them.
That's okay. Penn State hadn't won one. Penn State has only shared one, right?
They won one. Let me see. They're on this list. What did they say? 1986 is the last time. And it might have been shared, but I think they got the AP that year in 86.
I think Penn State is a blue blood.
Okay.
Now, of the ones we just talked about, Southern Cal's never going to win another one, I don't think. Nor with Notre Dame, and there are reasons for that.
Notre Dame's been pretty close. In the last decade, they played for one, and they got to a playoff. That's closer than a lot of teams have been.
When was the last time a private school won a national championship?
Ooh, now that's Southern, actually a really good
isn't
question.
Isn't Southern Cal a private school?
Yes, it is.
It
it's
is.
It's got to be Southern Cal.
I mean, yeah. If you go through whatever level of football you want to go to, Drew, and you look at private schools, it's been a while since any of them have won a national championship.
You know, I didn't think about that, but that's a really good point. And maybe that does, I mean, maybe that does show where the money is right now and what programs are getting the resources pumped their way, that's where the championships are going. I think there's something to that for sure.
But I will say that Georgia and Penn State, over the next 5 to 10 years, will win a national championship.
Okay, so in the next 5-10 years, you say Georgia and Penn State. What about Texas A&M and Oregon?
Texas A&M and Oregon, I will be gone 100 years before they win a national championship.
Yes, Jim.
Texas A&M have been walking up and down the field with the same song ever since I was a little kid, and I don't think they've ever won a national championship.
Jim, you better preach.
It's like 1930-something, right?
39.
Pre-World War II, that's it.
That was about the year that I was born, and that was the last time they won a national championship.
No way, man. No way.
The reason they got out the Southwest Conference, and the big game, because of the fact, they were calling Texas daddy, so, I mean, that pretty much
they
took
still do.
For them. That is correct. And by the way, there's one other thing that I got to talk to you Clemson folk about. Even though my wife is Clemson grad, I can talk to her. You mean to tell me that Clemson beat that powerhouse Furman for a basketball recruit this weekend?
Well, yeah. Now, let me say this. Yes, you are right. However, this is a unique recruiting cycle in that there are going to be guys. And look, this guy may be a bust. I have no idea. There are going to be guys in this cycle that nobody has seen. Because of the lack of openness this summer, because of the lack of camps, because of the lack of access, guys that are late bloomers aren't going to be seen. So if you're one of the couple that have a jump on guys, you're going to be able to get them. If there is ever going to be a time in, I think more so basketball, perhaps football as well, where recruiting rankings maybe aren't indicative of success on the field, it might be in like 2022 or 23 where we see the fruits of the labor of this particular class and the next one maybe bear out, and maybe some guys who would have otherwise been seen that nobody put eyes on, and so they go to a lesser school. Now, transfer portal may change that. They may end up at a bigger place by default by the end of it. But if Joshua Beadle, if he's that type of player, then I think Clemson's okay. It could very well be that everybody's – but I've read that Virginia Tech and Auburn, and there were a couple other programs that were sort of hot on his trail but wanted to see him first. And if those kind of programs offer, then you're looking at a much higher profile recruit. And at the end of the day, Clemson, because of proximity and because of relationship over time, is able to get their foot in the door there.
Oh, I will say one thing. I really thought the kid was going to go to Furman.
Well, he liked the staff there at Furman, from all accounts. He really liked the staff with Coach Ritchie, and he really liked Earl Grant and the staff at the College of Charleston as well. But it's hard, man. It's hard to turn down Clemson. It's hard to turn down ACC.
Well, I'm going to leave you with you. I'm going to leave you, and now Kelly probably get this answer, but you won't.
Okay.
What was the last Division I school to win an NCAA? I mean, excuse me. What was the last private school to win an NCAA Division I football championship?
It's got to be USC.
I said an NCAA Division I championship.
Oh, Division I. He said Division I. Is Furman the answer, Jim?
I think that Villanova was the answer, but Furman and Villanova are the only two that has ever won, the only private school that ever won a Division I championship.
Interesting.
But remember, 1AA schools, FCS schools are Division I.
That's true. That's a good point, Jim. And Villanova, I think, would be the answer there. I think that's right. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Jim. Interesting.
Oh, okay, so he was talking about FCS.
Yeah, he was talking about FCS.
Okay, Quack, yeah, I have the official term. Is James Madison a private school?
I think so. So it may be James Madison.
I don't know. They might be public. Let's see real fast.
I don't know.
Oh, gosh, you have to do James Madison University. You can't just Google James Madison.
That's right, because he was a dude. Right,
no, James Madison is public.
Okay.
Public Research University. Okay, here's the deal with blue blood. And one texter got in on this. A blue blood is someone of noble birth. It's an aristocrat. Because blue bloods come from privileged noble families that are wealthy and powerful. The word blood has long referred to family ties, people you share the same, blah, blah, blah. But the reason that they're called blue bloods is because they were so white and pale because they never had to work a day in their lives outside of their house that you could see their veins through their skin and you could see the blue veins. That's why they're called blue bloods.
How about that?
So you think about something? That when we're applying these to football programs. It's basically the noble, right? The aristocrats of college football. Is what we're talking
that
about.
That does say something because you can't just be good right now. That says that when you are associated with the program, that you get the benefit of the doubt. Like you're assumed to have a certain status. That's blue blood. It's not being good. It's the assumption of status, right? So you could actually not be any good at all.
It's the benefit of the doubt from your name, really,
right.
Is what it is.
That's right.
Because
and we'll get into that a little bit.
Being a blue
that's
blood,
tricky.
Being an aristocrat, doesn't necessarily mean that you are skilled or talented, right? It's just you are where you are because your name.
That's true. Let's go to Thirsty Mangus, who's up with us next. Hello, Thirsty.
Quack, where I'm from, we call pasty, blue-veined, white people of royalty of upper status Ohioans. So... Just one little beach joke. I'm sorry.
That's true. No, that's totally fine. That's totally fine. And I knew, you know, that was a joke that I knew where it was going, but it entertained me nonetheless.
As soon as you heard pasty, you knew Ohio was coming.
I 100% knew that was coming. Yep.
Quark, I don't know how well-versed you are with the nature documentaries, but have you ever seen the meerkats? They're like little prairie rats that like stand up and poke their heads up and then they dive back down. Have you seen
Yes,
them?
Like Timon. From The Lion King.
Yes. That's what I feel like. I feel like I'm poking my head out, like, are sports back? Can we stop talking about all this other stuff? And then I have to dive back in my hole. So, related to that, I'm wondering, is it safe to unrenounce my affiliations with Pittsburgh Pirates? Is baseball coming back, or are we still in the gray area of maybe?
It's coming back now. As far as the Pirates go, you might want to soft pedal that. John Hight's very excited about that, and it is a bit of a crapshoot this year, but it also could be like a 20-40 type season. The good news for the Pirates is all they have to face are the other Central teams, and there is no standout team in the Central. So that's good. The vast majority. Of the games will be against teams that aren't very good.
Yeah, anytime you shorten the season, it's an advantage for Pirates fans.
True.
I guess my two choices, Quack, are go back to baseball or stay pledged to Leicester City of the EPL. I'm getting ingrained in their culture. I might get a kit. I'm familiar with their pitch. They're not a nil-nil type roster. It's either score or be scored on. And pretty intense rivalry with Nottingham Forest, which I think that's where Robin Hood came from, isn't it? I don't know. Don't answer that. But it's either Leicester City or Pittsburgh Pirates. So you tell me, Quack. I don't know.
Thirsty, we appreciate it. These are glorious thoughts. Thanks for the phone call. I would say stay with Leicester for right now.
Isn't it Leicester City?
Leicester. It's not Leicester. I can say that. And... Robin Hood was from Nottingham, and it was the Sherwood Forest. So it's a little combo do with the Nottingham Forest.
Speaking
there.
Of football and speaking of Blue Bloods, I have started watching The English Game on Netflix.
Yes,
have you seen this?
It has been recommended to me. I've yet to begin it.
It's good. And it's about the origins of football and how it was originally only played by the Blue Bloods, the aristocrats and everything. And then the working man started to play, and that's how it evolved and all these things. But it relates to our story. I would recommend that. If you're bored, you have no sports, the English game is pretty good.
And see, that's where Blue Blood, we can actually find Blue Blood there.
Yeah,
because
that's
there
where
was
it comes
an assumption
from.
In the game, in the English game, the assumption was that the aristocratic
game.
People were better at soccer, and that these little peons, these little beggars and these little paupers, these little normal,
the mill normies, workers,
they could not play at the same level. And so the benefit of the doubt was given to something that was actually low-key worse because of status.
So when you look at Blue Bloods, and I'm consulting the Pick 6 Previews Blue Bloods, because I think this list is pretty much perfect of what Blue Bloods are.
Okay.
Clemson is not a Blue Blood. And we've talked about this many times on our show. Could they earn that status eventually? Possibly. But it's going to take some time, because what a Blue Blood is a team that's given the benefit of the doubt because of their name. Is Alabama given the benefit of the doubt because of their name? Yes.
Yes.
Ohio State?
Yes.
Oklahoma?
Yes.
Notre Dame?
Yes.
Southern Cal?
Yes.
Michigan?
Yes.
Texas?
Yes.
Nebraska?
Yes.
Those are teams that are given the benefit of the doubt because of their name. Now, have they earned that? This is not a pure royalty situation. They weren't just born into it. They have earned it from their past history. But they also benefit from it now, when we all know Notre Dame has not won a title in many years. Michigan has not won a title in many years. Texas hasn't won one in 15 years. Nebraska hasn't won one in 25 years. Oklahoma hasn't won one in 20 years. But we still give them the benefit of the doubt. To me, that's what a Blue Blood is.
Yes. To me, that's my definition for a Blue Blood. That's the first definition, is because we said so. It's
yeah.
Like when you tell your kids about college football, which names do you bring up first that maybe aren't necessarily great today but were good before? Like what you talked about. They haven't actually earned it recently, but they earned it because of what happened way in the past.
You're talking to these kids, right? And none of these teams have won titles in their lifetime.
Now, if there's one of these eight that's going to significantly drop, it's Nebraska's going to drop soon.
Yeah, it's a consistent conversation. You can drop out, you can move in. It takes a good amount of history to do either of those things. It takes time. But yes, Nebraska and maybe Michigan. I could see those two falling a little bit. Those are the two that are falling the most right now to me.
Maybe Michigan too. Although Michigan has been really, really good more recently than Nebraska, and has won a national title more recently than Nebraska as well.
Barely. Isn't it like 96 and 97?
Right.
So that
I'm gonna see if there are more stringent, because that's where I say, if I'm starting with because we said so, that's a very non-quack thing to do and to say. So let's see if we can put some stipulations on it.
Quack, I like this texter who says Clemson, referring to Clemson and saying, we are the revolutionaries. We are the team coming in and changing the status quo. We weren't born with a silver spoon, but we're trying to earn our own silver spoon, basically.
That's right. We're trying to make it so that our kids are born with a silver spoon.
Right. That's all we want. Spoiled silver spoon children.
Hour two continues in just a moment.
Hey, Tiger fans. Don Munson here, voice of the Clemson Tigers, and I want you to know there is no better way to support your Tigers than by being a member of IPTE. Membership starts at only $60 and provides critical support for our student athletes to be champions in the classroom and in athletic competition. Be a game changer and visit ClemsonTigers.com/IPTE or call 1-800-CLEMSON to join IPTE today.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One. Trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
Managing your account at Founders Federal Credit Union has never been easier.
Founders Online gives you the option to pay your loans, pay your credit cards, even pay your bills, all from the comfort of your home. Visit FoundersFCU.com to enroll your account today. Not a Founders member? Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. That's RelaxJoinFounders.com for membership information and more. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Ben Milstead here. What has happened to us? We've become lightweights with weak arms and become flabby. It's time to make Americans strong again. Optinas is an all-natural muscle builder that allows you to work out longer, lift more, recover faster, and increase stamina. As someone involved in competitive sports, I need a product that helps me recover faster and get back to training. Optinas has helped me and it'll help you. For a limited time, get 20% off Optinas at UpstateMuscle.com with code BEN. Be the great American hero you know you are.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. And remember, raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme donuts. Call Anderson and Spartanburg Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hello, Aurora listeners. This is Brian Taylor of the Brian Taylor Allstate Agency. When it comes to protecting what matters most, it makes sense to choose an insurance agent that's a part of your community. I know the ins and outs of both owning and protecting a home in your neighborhood. By choosing a local Allstate agent, you get an expert who knows the community and is committed to getting to know you. Which means I can help you get the protection you want that fits you and your life. Are you in good hands? So contact me today, Brian Taylor, here in the upstate of South Carolina, for a free quote. So call me at 864-224-1617. That's 864-224-1617. Thank you.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
One Security Studios. All the sports you need and some you didn't even know you needed. We are the Roar.
Continues out of bounds. William Quaggenbush, Kelly Gramlich, 654 Roar is the number you like to join us on the Northern Communication phone lines. Did you know, and we're not quite there yet, that July is National Carpet Cleaning Month. I don't know.
Really?
I got really choked up about that. Yeah, it is. And so, if you're going to treat yourself to a clean carpet, if you're going to treat someone you love to a clean carpet, then you should do it during National Carpet Cleaning Month. Listen, the manufacturers for your carpet are probably going to tell you that every 6 to 12 months, your carpet needs a cleaning. That is for the detergents and the soaps and the formulas that all they do is just attract the stuff back. When you bring Zero Res in, you're getting a deeper, more professional, more complete clean than you would with any of those other products. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's a right way to clean. Call the cleaning experts at Zero Res. Take advantage of their summer sale going on now. Get 3 rooms of carpet clean for only $129 plus a free hallway. Visit ZeroResGreenville.com. That's ZeroResGreenville.com. Let's go to the Northern Communication phone lines. 654 Roars the number. Clemson Dominates joins us next. What's up, Clemson Dominates?
Hey, guys. In considering this question, and also I want to ask you guys a question semi-related to this afterwards. I think that Clemson would have to win 2 more national championships because that would put them at 5. That's how many Nebraska has. And also, if Dabo could get the four, that's going to put him in, like, in a category that only a few coaches have ever reached. And I think that would put Clemson on at that point, I think they would be given the credibility and the stature. They're a few natties away from that, I think, at this point. Because at that point, really, what's anybody going to say? You know, if you got a coach walking the sidelines with four national championships, you know, I don't think there's much anybody is going to be able to say to downgrade the program.
You know, that's a really good point, Clemson Dominates. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Kelly, what do you make of that? Maybe two more national championships and Clemson could be put in this Blue Bloods conversation?
I think he's probably right, because when you get to five, I mean, five is very, very difficult to ignore. My only fear would be the Miami comparison. Miami has three, I believe. Let me double check that. But Miami has struggled because they've been good really in two different eras, and that's about it. Miami has four. Okay. Oh, no, five. They do have five. They have five claimed national titles, 83, 87, 89, 91, and 01. So if Clemson gets to five, I think that they have a very good chance. But my fear is if you're only good in a couple decades or in a couple eras, and for Clemson, you could look at, okay, they won in 81, and then let's say they win two more before 2025, for example, and then you say, okay, they've won four in a span of 10 years, which would be crazy. Still, you have the argument of, well, they've only had pockets of success. That's why I think it's going to take time. No, people don't, there's some people that would consider Miami a blue blood, I guess. This metric does not. And it's because they weren't any good until the 80s. So there's so much of a previous history in the sport that Miami just doesn't have. Even a team like Florida State. Florida State isn't considered a blue blood according to this metric. They have three national titles. I do agree that five is hard to ignore, but I think it's going to take more time for Clemson to really move into the blue blood discussion. What do you think of that?
Here's why it's hard to know exactly what this means and to be able to say when Clemson does this, then this will happen. Or when such and such does this, then they'll get to this level. Or when such and such does this or doesn't do this, then they'll fall out of this discussion. That it is more of a feel thing. You look at the eight that got more than 50%, which there is a big drop. You look at the Twitter polls, Pick Six previews, Alabama at 94% was number one. Number eight was Nebraska, 65% said yes, it is a blue blood. And then Penn State was next at 46. So that's where the big gap is there. If you look at these eight, you can see a different little wrinkle to all of them. Alabama has risen at different times, multiple times, and been up at the forefront of conversation, but not consistently. Ohio State has been at the forefront of conversation in the country with the exception of 1 year when they had an interim coach for about the last 20 years, almost 20 consecutive years, Ohio State's been at the top of the country. Oklahoma, we know about Bud Wilkinson and then Bob Stoops and up
Don't
through
forget
with
Barry Switzer.
Lincoln Riley and also Barry Switzer. That's right. Notre Dame is Notre Dame. USC is USC. We know, O.J. Simpson, Marcus Allen, and on up through, and then the
Heisman
Pete Carroll years.
Heisman U, really.
That's right. Michigan. The thing about Clemson needing two more national championships is weird because they already have two more than they already have one more than Michigan.
Right. And
Michigan's
only
got
two. That's my point is, you know, there's probably some Miami fans, let's say on Miami Sports Radio in 1998, who were saying, oh, man, if Miami just wins that fifth one, if they get to five, then people are going to consider them a blue blood. And they won in 01. And maybe at the time, people were saying, oh, yeah, we might move Miami in there. But then Miami collapsed and has been a dud for 20 years. So if Miami had continued doing what they were doing, if Miami had won, if they had won five titles, let's say they didn't win another one after 01, but they were still really good, still consistent, still making playoffs, winning their conference, maybe it's different. And so it's just, I think it's going to take time. I'm not sure even in the next 10, 20, 30 years, you could see Clemson move into a blue blood because Clemson would have to be consistently good and arguably consistently great for the next 30 years to even be considered just because of how history has shaped up. And then, of course, you have this text, Quack, from the 864. And I think a lot of Clemson fans feel this way. And maybe this is how a lot of people around the country feel about Clemson. I don't know. Texter says, Clemson will never be a blue blood because they've always had to and will always have to earn it. Nothing will ever be handed to the little school from upstate South Carolina. Dabo, is that you? Do you think Dabo's texting?
I disagree with that, okay? And I'm going to disagree on the same basis as I'm looking at all eight of these, and I'm saying what makes them blue bloods and a team like Florida State not? And I think that the answer is that they are never far from the top of the conversation. Even Nebraska, okay? I think Nebraska is the only perilous one on the list, but Nebraska was at the top of the national conversation more or less for like 30 years.
Well, and they're still at the top in your mind, Kwok.
Well, you know, I think they can win like 8 or 9. You know, I think Nebraska's days of being in the tip top are over.
If you would go to your average house in Nebraska these days, they'd say, we're just praying for 8 or 9 and a good harvest. That's all they'd say. So, yeah, 8 or 9 would be great.
There are some iconic elements from all of these programs that are totally outside wins and losses, or at least, I guess, some of these programs. Alabama's really about wins and losses. Like, what are we talking about here? We're talking about they win. Oklahoma, you're talking about winning. But Michigan, it's like Bo Schembechler's Michigan, man. There's like an aura about
Michigan. Yeah, and the big house, and more of an aura about Michigan than actual production.
Of all these programs, Notre Dame has gone the longest without a national championship. But to me, Notre Dame is about so much more than national champions. For, you know, Notre Dame is still in our conversation. And until they fall out of our conversation, like with reason, they're still going to be a blue blood because their brand is strong enough to hold a national TV rights deal in the year 2020
right.
For themselves. Like there are things that even if you forsake winning for a time, Notre Dame, Charlie Weiss, Tyrone Willingham, even if you forsake winning for a time, your brand is still strong. No, get out of here with that. Three straight top 12s. Get out of here.
Top 12s.
Hey.
I don't get out of bed for a top 12 if I'm a Golden Domer.
Top 12 is conversation. Top 12 is in the conversation.
Newt Rockne's rolling over his grave.
This ain't 1946 anymore, Kelly.
Well, you're darn
right.
The world
is a complex place. Nebraska still has, until recently, they still sell out every game. They're going 4-8. They're not even making bowls. They're selling out the games. Texas has won in the last 15 years, but every time there's a hire, we keep talking about Texas being on top, and nobody can wait. Everybody can't wait for Texas to be back on top. That's what it seems like. There's something about these programs where there's a gravitas to these programs where they are going to be in the conversation until they are decidedly not.
So, okay.
And it's because they spent so much time in the past of college football being the programs that we talked about.
And that's a great point. And I want to make this read this text because he makes a good point, too, from the 864. Every program earns it. No one gave Alabama those titles. They won them. That's true. But our point with the blue blood conversation is, for example, with Michigan. Not a single player on that team has won a national title, but they're given the benefit of the doubt because of their Michigan. And that's my question, Kwok. I think we can all be hopeful and say, oh, maybe after Texter says 30 years of continuous success, 10 win seasons for 30 straight years, maybe Clemson will become a blue blood. But I'm not even sure that's true because so much of this is entrenched in history and you can't go back and change history. You can't go back and change all the titles these programs have won in previous years and the fact that they get the benefit of the doubt. A lot of being a blue blood is just, what have you done in the past? And Clemson can never go back and change its past. Clemson does not have an amazing national championship filled past. It does have a very solid past with 10 win seasons and bowl games and all this and ACC championships. So it might be enough to help Clemson get over the hump eventually, but I'm not sure. I mean, would you say that you'd have to have, of these 8 blue bloods we have, does one of them have to fall out before you can put another one in there?
No, I don't necessarily think that. I mean, I do think that there's probably a ceiling on the number of programs that you can have. I do think this, it's hard to be a blue blood if the other blue bloods are keeping up blue blood status.
Yeah,
they're sort of
I do think
renewing their lease
to a certain extent. if you want Clemson to move into blue blood status, first of all, I think the earliest that it could really happen is, I don't know, 10 or 15 years or something like that. But I do think you need Nebraska to continue to be atrocious.
Yes, I think because Nebraska's out and because some of these other programs, Notre Dame not quite as good, that's where you get the ability to ride. That's why we talk about, you know, it takes sometimes other programs being down for you to ascend. And then when those programs get back, then your task is, can we stay ascended?
And
that was sort of the idea, like South Carolina rose under Steve Spurrier. And I know that there were some things that waned in that program, but part of it was that Georgia and Florida got their act together a little bit.
And maybe not in this bubble, but nationally, I think a lot of people would say, all right, Clemson, let's see what happens when Florida State comes back. And
yes.
So we'll see. I mean, Florida State is not going to be bad forever. Now, we have heard this about Nebraska for a long time, and we've heard this about Miami for a long time. So Florida State could be on that trajectory. We don't know. But when Florida State does come back, how does Clemson respond? I think a lot of people are watching that to see if Clemson could really move into a blue blood discussion.
All eight of these programs, Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, USC, Michigan, Texas, Nebraska, all eight of them, to varying degrees, have defined college football nationally and in the conversation for a generation. Right now, Clemson doesn't do that. That's why I say